is Trevor Ariza. You listen to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Ariza out of the pack. Ariza reverse slam. An explosive game for Trevor Ariza.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. KOL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We're going to step away from the local sports front. We'll talk NBA basketball. Last night, the Houston Rockets, in what was as close to a must-win situation as you could possibly be in a series, came up big and dominated the Golden State Warriors for the majority of the game as they picked up a comfortable win. Now that series is tied 1-1. It'll go back to Oracle on Sunday. On the flip side of that, we have the Celtics and the Cavs at 2-0 in favor of Boston. They'll resume on Saturday, and joining us to talk about that, we have a great friend of mine, a great friend of the show, Jamison Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jamison, as always, fun to get you on. Thank you.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always. Definitely appreciate it. Glad we're in the middle of the conference finals. It looks like we've come a long way since the beginning back in October.
Absolutely. It's been fun to follow it up to this point. And again, no surprises, at least at the beginning of the season, when we said it would be Boston and Cleveland. And I think a lot of people expected it to be Houston and Golden State as well, once the Rockets had acquired Chris Paul. We've talked about that. Now that we're two games deep into the series, last night, again, a must-win situation for Houston. If they don't win game two, this series is over in four. Yet the way Houston won last night may give even those optimistic fans reason to believe that maybe Houston can take this six games.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. With Houston's all of their role players. Like, we know Harden and Paul are going to play great. That's what they do. But Houston's going to go as far as their role players. In the regular season, the P.J. Tuckers, Eric Gordons, those kind of guys had really good gears to wear off driving, kicking off pick and roll and kickouts. They were able to score a lot of open threes. They didn't do that in game one. They struggled some of the Utah series with that. Eric Gordon had a weird playoff. So a lot of the guys they were counting on for contributions with have been kind of shaky. But last night, you know, P.J. Tucker had a career high, 22 points. Eric Gordon found his shot. The Warriors did play the same exact defense that they've been playing the game before and even in the previous series. So we'll see. I think we have a really good series on our hands. However, the Warriors are still the better team. They have the upper hand. And my rule of thumb in a game, in a seven-game series, you have to be prepared to win two road games. And I don't think Houston can do that. I think Golden State can do that. So it's going to be great to see this upcoming weekend.
I picked Golden State to win at 5 at the beginning of the series, and I'm going to stick with that because I do believe they'll get both at Oracle. And if they do, that's a lot of pressure for Houston in Game 5. But in order for Golden State to win two games at home, let's be realistic. Steph Curry has got to shoot the long ball a little bit better, and really, Klay Thompson was not good last night either. A lot of the shots that both of these guys put up, Jamison, seemed forced. And so I'm going to credit Houston's defense with that. It's not all on Golden State. I mean, Houston forced those shots, but at the same time, Curry and Thompson did not look good last night.
Yeah, they definitely didn't play their best games last night. Curry, they're guarding Curry a certain way. They're trying to keep him off the three-point line. And I understand that. That's where he's most lethal at. And even though he missed some open threes, they usually make. You kind of have to figure out that's not going to work in Oakland. You have to kind of figure, hey, he's going to hit a couple of these at home, maybe even hit a couple in a row. So it's going to be a different situation in Oakland. But last night, the Rockets' defense created a lot of turnovers. They were the more aggressive team. They were faster last night, and it showed. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing no one's really talking about. Golden State, when they're focused, they don't turn the ball over. Their biggest issues is turnovers. Out of all the things they have going for themselves, the only thing that really, really bites them is turnovers. When they don't turn the ball over, they're unbeatable because they operate so efficiently on offense and defense. But the turnovers, that's what really gets them. If they keep it around 10, 12 turnovers a game or less, they don't lose. Anything over that, they had like 7 in the first quarter last night. Kind of figure it's going to be one of those nights.
Golden State shoots 30% from downtown. And again, I just don't think that that's something that you can rely on if you're Houston. But one of the things I pointed out at the beginning of the series, and I think it's true. Look, last night proved this to be true. If Houston is going to beat Golden State, they have to score in the 120s, Jameson, minimum. You have to get to that 120 threshold because, again, Golden State may have only scored 105 last night, but look, Houston had some dynamic quarters. They scored 38 in the second, 31 in the third, 32 in the fourth. They have to get to that 120 threshold, and if they do that, they have a chance to win. Now, I don't think you can do that consistently against Golden State, but when I look at what Houston wants to do offensively, I think 120 is a good gauge for where this team needs to be.
No, I agree with you 1,000%. But also, Houston has to defend well. Houston has to keep Golden State under, 25, 27 and a quarter. They want to win. Like, that's the key because we all know Golden State can get to 40 and a quarter and hold you down to under 20 in some cases. So that's going to be the key for Houston is defending. Their offense is going to be their offense, but their defense for me is the key because in game one, they were non-existent defensively. They were like, they didn't really know what to do. They didn't really have a plan. Game two, they were out there playing harder. The concept still didn't make any sense of what they were doing defensively, but they were playing harder, so they made better plays. However, I just don't see how it works going forward in the series because here's the thing. You can defend Kevin Durant however you want to. You can defend Steph however you want to. Those guys still got a lot of open shots. Like, if Steph makes half the shots he misses, we're having a totally different conversation today. So it's really a make or miss league, as they like to say. I don't think Houston did anything special defensively. Their guys played harder. They played with a desperation attached to them, and you got to give them credit for that. But with that being said, I'm going to go with Golden State had a bad shooting night. Steph had a rough night outside the paint. At the same time, they get the benefit of the doubt. I think they turn around.
Again, we're being joined right now by Jameson Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Let's flip series because, again, I approach these right now where we're sitting. It's two completely different tales. Okay, Boston did what they had to do. They protected home court. Cleveland has the opportunity to come back and do the same thing, and then we're looking at a best 2 out of 3 series. Completely different than what Houston encountered last night. Game 3 for Cleveland, in my mind, Jameson, is essentially a must-win just as Game 2 was for Houston.
Oh, it's beyond a must win. Here's the issue with Cleveland. Not as must win, it's to try to keep an era alive. If they lose this series, if they get swept, there's no way LeBron's coming back. Like, there's no way. If they lose in 6 or 7, there's always a chance. But if they get swept, he's not coming back. So they're playing to keep an era and a situation alive. So that in itself is a lot of pressure, a lot going on. But also, look, I mean, the Celtics haven't won a road game in these playoffs.
That's nuts.
They've won one. They've won one.
Right.
Until they're able to show more consistency on the road, I got to favor Cleveland at home the next couple of games, even though Boston wins a lot of the individual matchups. But got to give Cleveland some credit at home. However, I don't like what I see. I don't like the body language of J.R. Smith. I don't like what George Hill's been giving them. Kevin Love has been pretty good. Outside of that, it's been really shaky. I don't know how they match up with this Celtics team that they have. These young wing guys with Tatum and Brown are really causing havoc the whole game for the Cavs. They don't have an answer.
LeBron James has been everything and more that they could possibly ask for throughout the entire postseason. And if I'm the Cleveland Cavaliers or I'm a Cavalier fan, here's what worries me, Jameson. And I go back to Game 2, and I know it was in Boston, but still, LeBron was magnificent. A 42-point triple-double. Kevin Love was very good in this game. Shot 50% from the field. Had 22 points and 15 rebounds. They are absolutely getting no production from anywhere else, including the bench.
And that's a problem because now you have the Celtics, who are a very good defensive team, especially when they go to guys like Marcus Smart, who is known for his defensive chops. That's a very tough situation for the Cavs to combat with. They just don't have a lot of athletic guys on that roster, and the guys they traded for aren't that good in that system. For whatever reason, Jordan Clarkson and Rodney Hood forgot how to play basketball when they got to Cleveland. And with that being said, it's a rough situation for everybody that's going on right now in Cleveland in terms of that they're so been on the bench. They don't have a lot of alternatives to go to. So we'll see what's going to take place. I do think Cleveland wins at least one game at home. I don't think they get swept. But it's not looking good. It really isn't. Whenever LeBron has one of those 40-point triple-double games, they usually win. when they lost that game, it almost looked like a sign of why, hey, this one, it might be a little bit different than the rest of those games.
Jordan Clarkson did not play in Game 2. Again, this was one of those guys that I expected Cleveland to rely heavily on once we got to the postseason, just based on the fact that Jordan Clarkson was pretty good in L.A. at providing points. Sometimes he was a volume shooter, but at the same time, when you have guys like J.R. Smith shooting 0-for-7, I would expect Clarkson at some particular time to play a role. Rodney Hood is not scoring the basketball at a relatively efficient rate as well, and then the story breaks that Cleveland didn't really care about getting Jordan Clarkson. They made the deal to grab Larry Nance Jr. I just can't believe that, Jameson, and I think in this series, you may have to rely on Jordan Clarkson at some point in time to give that bench some production.
Yeah, they definitely need him. They need all those guys. They don't have – they're not in a situation where they can be picky. They need all those guys to play as much as possible. And until they do, they're going to be in trouble. They just don't have a lot of options scoring. It almost makes you look like, wow, they gave on Dwayne Wade, who found his fountain of youth in Miami when he went back home. So they're in some trouble. Now, they're not – you know, they're not in an impossible situation, but when you look at their situation, they're in trouble. Because they just don't have enough guys that can score. LeBron had 42, and they didn't get to 100.
Right.
So if he, you know, and that's happened several times in playoffs where he's gone off, but they're not getting to 100. That's a scary sight in my eyes.
19 points off of the bench in Game 2. Boston and Cleveland, again, that'll take place on Saturday. We get Golden State and Houston, Game 3 on Sunday. Jameson, as always, it's a pleasure to get you on. I'm going to ask you this before I let you go. The Toronto Raptors tweeted out a congratulations to Dwayne Casey. Bad form, right?
It is, but at the same time, he was there 7 years. He's definitely the best coach they've had there while coaching. So, I don't think that was made in any bad way. I think that it is what it is. With that being said, Dwayne Casey is going to get a job, whether he wants this year or next year. He's going to get a job. It's unfortunate that that job came on the market so late, because I think there was other candidates that may have wanted to take a different look at it. But with that being said, that Raptors job is going to be, it's not a bad job to take. It's one of the top 10 jobs in the league. And Dwayne Casey is a top 10 type of coach. So he's going to have his pick when the time comes. I just hope he's able to make some adjustments, because the way he defended the Cavs with LeBron this past series was pretty bad.
It's terrifying. It's terrifying stuff. Jameson, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. Again, thank you very much. Let the listeners know where they can find the rest of your work.
ESPN 1100 in Las Vegas, ESPN 1480 in Nebraska, Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico and in Vegas, and of course here once a week or so.
Jameson, thank you. We'll do it again next week.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always.
We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back and put the final touches on this edition of the show when we return.